Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Hallelujah. You know what? I'm going to ask some of the ones who went with me
There's one.
And then we'll share the...
There's another one. And I think there's another one.
And we have a video to share that'll go with this. But I wanted some of the pilgrims who went with us and served the Lord to share their testimony. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Go ahead.
All right, let's roll the video that we have there, guys. Thank you.
Various tragedies happening.
Before history, basically, and all the way until Solomon built his temple, the unit of measurement.
Always.
They are taken away from this land and brought into Assyria, another conquered people. Strike at both areas in June of 1967. Jordan takes the arches. Now, of course, during the Crusader period, you've never seen the bare side of stone.
Hallelujah. So that video was put together, edited by our very own Sarah Chavda. Let's give her a big hand. Also, I feel that it is fitting, just as you've seen that video, is that you see something that is way beyond just a regular tour or group of people that have come to see sites. But it really is an apostolic mission to the apple of God's eye. to Israel. And so I want to us together for a moment to just honor Pastors Mahesh and Bani first, because I want to tell you that, you know, one of the things that we see displayed as a tour, as a group, is their spiritual vision, their leadership, their apostolic heart and ministry for Yerushalayim, for Israel, for the nations. And it's very evident together when we were together. And I speak for probably, I don't know if there's others that were in the tour that's in this room, I'm sure, and these guys were, but we want to honor you guys and say thank you for blessing Israel and Jerusalem with apostolic insight and vision and your faith and faithfulness to the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. Let's honor them, please, please.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you, pastors.
Wow.
Thank you.
Thank you for blessing Jerusalem. Thank you for praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Thank you for sowing into Jerusalem and in Israel. Hallelujah. And it's kind of an understatement to say something is, you know, it's awesome. Yeah, it was awesome. It was great. It was wonderful. But, you know, one of the scriptures that was really resonating in my heart and my spirit in the last couple days on our return journey home is what the Apostle Paul said to the church in Rome in Romans chapter 1, just a couple of verses. And I feel like it was the heart of the Lord that we carried by faith together for Israel. It says, Romans 1, verse 11, it says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you." That is, verse 12, "that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith," both yours and mine.
Yeah.
And that heart that the Apostle Paul had, I really believe that as a team, as this group together, and what I'm particularly humbled and honored to be a part of, is that we went to not just to receive, but to release impartation, to sow into the land, to sow into Israel and sow into Jerusalem. Many of the different videos that you saw in there were moments where we actually pretty much continually, you know, sowing in prayer into Israel, sowing in worship into Israel. It really was a continuous song. It's like Isaiah said, you know, "For Zion's sake, I will not be silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not shut up. I will not hold my peace. For Zion's sake, I will sing the songs of the Lord. I will minister to the Lord." And we were those priests going into that place to sow into the land, to minister, and yet receive at the same time. So there was this, you know, environment of both things happening in every site and all the places. Many of the, you know, places that we read about in the Bible, all of these places, they were alive. They were full of life as you saw them with your very eyes. And I will say that for me, and this is my third time to Israel, that for me it was more alive than ever, more alive than I've ever experienced, more alive than I've ever seen, not just from the knowing and the, you know, knowledge thing of the history and all the perspective, that which was wonderful. We had an amazing tour guide, Matthew, who gave us incredible historical, geological perspective of these places and the spiritual context out of our Bibles. So it became alive to us in all of our different senses, I believe, you know, even the things that we smelt, the things that we tasted. It was like the trees that were near us, the fig trees that we would sit under, the olive trees that we would touch and see. All of those things were alive to us in this trip. And so it was really a special thing for us to do. But that was the nature of who we were as an apostolic team. I think every person, we had multiple folks that were ministers of the gospel, full-time ministers, ordained ministers that were with us. And we were able just to bring an impartation as we were going, and where the Lord was doing mighty things, and we were able to sow. So we had many different places in what you saw in there, some of the different moments. One was the miracle service that Pastor Mahesh talked about. We had many people that were locals there, people that were that flew in from, I think, the Netherlands, is that right? And Ireland, that came in for the healing service that night, just to come to Jerusalem to receive this impartation. And so it was an important apostolic work. And then we also did some of the videos you saw in the dark place there, that dark place in those steps. Those were the southern steps to the Temple Mount. It was Mount Moriah. I was getting ready to put my knuckle up because that's our guide kept talking about Mount Moriah like this knuckle. But it was the place that, you know, Abraham offered his son Isaac to the Lord. It's a holy place in all of our different faith, in the Jewish faith. It's holy unto the Lord. It is Mount Moriah, and that right there is the bedrock. We went down into the Western Wall tunnels, and we were able to touch the bedrock of Mount Moriah. This holy place, and it's where the Holy of Holies in Jerusalem stood in the first and second temple, right there. And so when we went to the southern steps of the Temple Mount, we did a watch service. We were worshiping and praying, and we had this time before the Lord. You can see us there. This was the southern steps of where the Temple Mount stood. Together, we prayed for Jerusalem. We prayed for Israel. We worshiped unto the Lord, and we prayed for America. We sang, God bless America, and sowed into that in prayer and in worship. Had an amazing encounter experience. Now, the cool thing is part of this is, for me specifically, because I was leading worship, and right above where this is the Dome of the Rock, which is a holy Muslim shrine. And the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is one of the third holiest place in Muslim faith. And so here we were leading worship. I was leading worship. We were singing together. Pastor was praying right underneath this mosque. Yes. And there were windows right above there with the lights on. And there were Muslims watching us as we were worshiping. And then we were singing. And they started their prayers from the tower of the Muslim. They have, you know, five times a day that they declare their Muslim prayers on the tower.
That wasn't part of their timed ritual.
It wasn't. That's right.
Specifically, we're trying to out, that's right. You know, like noise up.
That's right. They were trying to outdo our sounds by their sounds of prayer from the tower. But how many know that our God is bigger? We were doing some battle. It was just very interesting because there was one line of one song. I don't remember the song, but I was singing something. I was singing, you know, over Jerusalem we declare the Lord reigns or something. I don't even remember what it was. And then I looked up and I saw these guys, you know, out there. And it makes us, you know, gives us full faith. I mean, we just went for it. We didn't care about what we saw or experienced. We really went for it. And it was like that in every setting in a powerful way.
On Friday evening before the watch, people had been pelted with stones visiting the southern steps there from within, yeah, in that mosque. So when the police actually, they were like, we're just here to make sure that everything is okay. But our battle was in the heavenly realm. It was pretty exhilarating for the folks who were present because they realized there really is a spiritual dynamic that is, you know, wrestling for power and influence and literal sound, the airspace over Jerusalem. It was great.
Yeah. And it was also the night of Israel's national elections, which was very strategic and very powerful for us to be there that night, the night of the elections, to pray and bless Jerusalem. Again, another part of our apostolic work that we were doing together. Also, another part of it was us sowing, but also receiving from the land. You know, Matthew, our guide, said that if you put a shovel anywhere in Israel, you can dig out something historic, something anointed, something in the story of God for our lives. And so we, as pilgrims, we laid a hold of that, and all of the places, all the sites we went to, it was like we were digging into these different places and experiencing them at a whole new level. In a whole new place in our faith, in our Christian walk with the Lord, in our a place of standing as pilgrims, saying, Lord, we dedicate ourselves, we rededicate our lives. We had our baptisms in the Jordan River where we were able to freshly say, we identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ together as a group. We were able to go to so many different places, so many different sites where we were able to say, yes, Lord, we come to do that. We left behind the junk of the past. We went to the upper room where we received a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. We went to so many different places. Mount Hermon, where, you know, with Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus, yes, being transformed in the glory and having an encounter. And also, I have a picture. One of the pictures I had in my queue was of Abraham's Gate. Can you show that picture of Abraham's Gate? Of the migrant, I have a lot of pictures. So this is what was called Abraham's Gate. And this was a very recent find, just in the last few years, of a gate that you see in the last 10 years. You see that there's this covering over it. But it is basically a gate that they have traced back to the time of Abraham. I think it's like 5,000 years old. So this would have been during the time of Abraham. And it's actually made out of mud and, you know, those kind of bricks and stuff. And so if it rains on it, it would actually wash it away. But they unearthed it. The archaeologists unearthed it recently. And so it gives us, you know, proof of this time of Abraham. Abraham would have walked through those gates at those times. It's a really powerful piece there. Also, you see, and the other picture I had was from the embassy, just us. I know we've shown it before, but just our group praying over the embassy. We were able to go as watchmen, again, over the this time of the election and just celebrating what the Lord has done. I know one of the videos we showed was praying for the elections at the Western Wall. And the other thing that it's awesome about the Western Wall was one of the things that we got to do. And another thing for me on a personal note was I was able to take my son, Ethan, who's 12 and he's about to turn 13 in a few weeks, and we had his bar mitzvah at the Western Wall. And I just want to say, he might still be sleeping. He got very little sleep on the trip. And he went to bed last night, and he has not woken up. I mean, I don't know, maybe he has now. We just speak to him to rise in Jesus' name. But but he was absolutely, I mean, I can't even fathom, but he was amazing on this trip. He was probably, you know, he was one of our incredible staff members. I would call him a staff member on our trip. He was contributing. He was serving at every moment. He ran the bookstore during the healing service. He was running media. He was doing sound and camera. He was doing all kinds of stuff. He was helping. And plus, he kept me in line, which was good. He told me one day, he said, "Dad, we've got to do a better job today of getting up than we did the day before in terms of getting up and getting on the bus." I said, "Wow. You're keeping me in line, man." He was. And he conducted himself with such grace. And it's just a real testament of being, you know, for me, of being a part of this family and just being a part of this spiritual heritage. To see my son, oh, there we are in En Gedi, in the springs of En Gedi. But you back to the Western Wall picture there for a moment. We went there, well, the one with us there. But we went to the Western Wall, and we were going to, you know, be there and pray and bless him. And we took several of the men from our group, and we went down to the wall together. We offered him up to the Lord, and we had several of the men that were praying there, the rabbis and some of the ones that were praying, that were, they were kind of hovering around us. They're like, "What is going on? What is going on?" And you can see there was one of the Jewish men. He has one of those headpieces there that has the scroll on it. But he came up. He said, "Bar mitzvah, bar mitzvah, bar mitzvah." I said, "Yes, bar mitzvah. Yes, bar mitzvah." And so we were laying hands, and he came in and laid hands on him and spoke a blessing over him in Hebrew and said and wished blessings upon him. We were also able to, pastor prayed for him and dedicated him at the southern steps of the Temple Mount. And so, you know, this is for future generations. We do this from, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we lay a hold of that together, and we celebrate what the Lord has done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Michael.
Amen.
Well, I will start by just commending Michael and Mary and trying not to cry, because it was amazing to see the grace of the Lord falling on Ethan as he was walking. And every single day, his stature changed, his countenance changed, and we watched him become a young man right before our eyes, and it was really amazing. It was a taste for all of us of the pilgrimage we were on, where it says we will go from strength to strength. He'll turn our valley of weeping into a place of praise. And I would say, as being in the land and also being a part of this apostolic team, just being able to witness so many different people that literally came with their heart set on pilgrimage. They had a cry in their heart, say, "I want to go to the land that the Lord says is the apple of my eye. I want to go and see the places that Jesus walked. I want to go and see the land that the Lord promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And I got to witness people, including myself, step through on that journey and come out transformed. I want to commend Anna and Emmanuel. If you just want to stand for just a moment. They made it today. I want to tell you, they are the picture of pilgrims. Every day, I mean, we started off at 6 a.m. the day after we arrived, and it did not stop until the end. And every time, I would say, are you guys okay? Do you want to take a break? Do you want to stop and rest in the shade while we're out in the hot sun? They're like, nope. They were determined from start to finish to be a part and participate in every aspect of this tour. And it was amazing. And I just want to thank you again for your hearts and your perseverance through this time. And as Michael mentioned, there's just layers. Everywhere you went, there were layers. Our tour guide was amazing. He is, I think, a history major. He's a French major. He's got archaeological studies under his belt. So everywhere you went, he would go from the ancient days of Abraham through the modern times of the Six-Day War or and everything in between and just point out, well, this layer right here where you see the rock change, that's when the Byzantines came in, or there's the Crusaders, or here's where, you know, this is from the 300 BC with the golden age of the Greeks, and this is what they were building there. And so everywhere you went, you got to see the layers of what has happened in that land and also the layers of the Lord's promises fulfilled. You know, in the old city, we were praying. We stopped at many of the places. Sometimes it was just a church was there. You know, this is the site, such and such happened, but from the layer that we're in right now, you could see the edifice that was built there. And we were praying, it was the day of our healing service, and we were praying there at the pool of Bethesda and praying for miracles and praying for a fresh welling up of signs, wonders, and miracles for Israel, for Jerusalem, for the community there. Well, 2 days later, as I was praying that, I kept seeing this water under the city. And I just kept declaring that those pools were going to well up again. Well, 2 days later, when we're in the Western Wall tunnels, if you see that, there's the pool of Bethesda. What I didn't know is it went all the way from the Western Wall through that entire quarter of the city. So as we were praying and declaring prophetically over the city, we're literally standing on top of waters that had been covered for centuries. Mount Moriah, again, being able to touch the bedrock of this mountain that goes back to Abraham and the giving of Isaac, the promises the Lord has made through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then Jesus being the ultimate sacrifice, the son that laid his life down in our stead, the ram, the lamb that took away the sins of the world, just to be able there and be like, I'm touching this spot. We went to Gihon Springs in Hezekiah's tunnel, and again, just you're not even expecting some of these things. Like, this is where the kings were anointed. And you're standing there. It was a long ways down. I think that day I looked at my walking tracker, and I think I walked 31 floors that day. And it was an exercise. But you get down there, and you're looking at the gates of a city that David built. And you're looking at a place where kings, starting with Solomon, had been anointed. And you're just standing in this amazing supernatural grace. You know, even the modern times, we're in the, our hotel has a whole area that, as Michael said, is a museum. It was across the valley from the old city, and during the War of Independence in 1948, this hotel had a secret cable that went across the valley. They laid it in the valley during the daytime, and at night they'd string it up. And there's this tiny little cart. I mean, it looked like maybe a laundry basket. And every night they would smuggle supplies into the city and bring wounded soldiers out. That was where we were staying. Right there.
And you see bullet holes.
And you see bullet holes. I mean, you see bullet holes in that whole region from the warfare to see the promises come. And then one of the healing service was amazing. It was, you know, we got to see, it was packed out. Sarah did an amazing job. Logistically, she was stayed behind that day to get everything set up, and we had, you know, the chairs set for probably 75 to 90 people. It was nice. It was beautiful. Had the bookstore set up, and probably 2 hours early, people started showing up, And I mean, people flew in from Ireland. People came with their special needs children. People came just out of the woodwork. And we started having to move chairs out, move furniture out. By the end, we had people, like our people were outside in the hallway just to make room. And we were all squeezed up against the walls. And that one picture doesn't even do justice to how many people were there. And as we were worshiping, you just felt like here are this community that was so thirsty and so hungry for a fresh drink. And it was our privilege to be able to come there and serve them and strengthen them and be a fresh breath of what we carry here in the Watch. The Watch was with us every step of the way. I went to the Western Wall when we went as a group, and we had your prayer requests with us. Yeah. And we, you know, prayed over them corporately. Then we distributed them out to, you know, it was a hard press to get to that wall. squeezing in to get to a crack where we could put those prayer requests in. And, you know, I was praying over those and just kind of trying to get out of the hustle and bustle of the people around me and press in. And at first I wasn't able to. My mind was like, you know, there's people pressing against me and there's, you know, it's loud. There's all these things happening. And then I stepped into that stream of the Watch. And I started praying for each one of you. It's like the Lord just brought you. I had that breastplate of the names of the people in this church. As soon as I stepped into that priestly role, it was like quiet and shalom. And the Lord himself was bringing you to that wall. I want to tell you, it wasn't intentional here. It was literally, like, I'm just trying to get to the wall, and I'm just trying to find that quiet place. And the place of the shalom was when the Lord just started bringing your names before him at the wall. And so I just want to say there is a blessing for each one of you, because as we have had the wonderful opportunity to go on pilgrimage, you've gone with us. Yeah. And we say next year in Jerusalem, amen. But until then, your names are there. Yeah. Your faces are there. Your presence is there because the Lord has allowed us through him to carry you into those places and pray for your prosperity, your blessing, your miracles, your healing. We had many miracles on this trip. I know my mom in particular came with sciatica. She's literally in tears the first couple of days because it was walking. Every time we have to get off the bus, she'd be, you know, hobbling along trying to get enough momentum to kind of stretch out that spasm. And in 2 days, she went from barely able to move to zero pain, 100%. And it was the grace of the Lord. And Hillary, another a lady that came with us, she's a leader in the prophetic movement in Scotland, has been part of hosting Pastor Bonnie at some events there. She came with debilitating pain she's had for 6 years in her back. And again, at the garden tomb in the communion service, and then she went into the garden tomb, and she said she got in there, and she couldn't move. And she just had this emotion come over her that she said was, she was a midwife for a season, and she's also had children. She said it was the emotions that she felt and saw people experience right after they'd had given birth to their baby. And she said, there's no words for it other than just this tremendous joy and relief. And as she was there and just kind of allowing the presence of the Lord, she realized that's what Jesus must have felt as he burst forth out of darkness and into resurrection power. And that relief, it is finished, it is finished, it is finished. And she just sat there in that tomb pressed against the wall until it was time to leave. And she said she just couldn't move. When she got out, she had to meet some people. She went on like a long walking tour. And at lunch, she was like, you know what? My back isn't hurting. And she had really, I mean, she had stepped out of things because of back pain during the tour so far. And then they walked another 20,000 steps that day. And at the end of the day, she said, no pain. Yeah. When she left Israel, no pain.
As you hear these things, some of you may say, gosh, I wish I could have been there. So if you plan on going on one vacation somewhere in the next 2-3 years, I would urge you not to think, even though Hawaii is great or France may be nice, the best choice to go on vacation is Israel, because weirdly enough, If there are any troubles, Derek Prince used to say, the safest place on earth is Jerusalem. And I pray if you have any anniversaries or birthdays, you want to make it special for your husband or your wife, you could gift your wife with a trip to Israel, because it not only blesses us, but one way you can bless Israel, and that's the Bible tells us so. Those who may not be familiar with these scriptures, the Bible says those who bless Israel will be blessed. So Israel has given us our Savior. Israel has given us our prophets and apostles. Israel has given us the Word of God. And without the Word of God, we would not, the foundations of the Word of God are in our Constitution. So America wouldn't be so pleasant if we didn't have the foundation scriptures that we get from the Bible that is given to us. Jesus himself said salvation is of the Jews. So the more we not only are blessed by being to going to the Holy Land, but we are able to spend some money to bless Israel. And that, so it's a mutual beneficial. And God willing, we plan to go to Israel next year.
Yes, we're looking at dates already, and our intention is that we will have a tour probably in the fall, in the general vicinity of when we went this year, but we'll be giving you early, much earlier than this time, we'll be giving you warning, hopefully within the next few weeks of when our time there next year will be. So, awesome. Heather, thank you. Thank you very much. Heather and Michael and Sarah, yeah, worked pretty much 24/7 the entire time to help facilitate the logistics on the ground and bring back a report. A couple of things that I would like to mention about the strategic timing, once again, the nature of the Lord of us being able to be there during the election and to pray, hold the watch at the wall during the election. And the outcome, just by way of a sort of simple explanation for what for us could be a complicated political scenario, the results of the election, what is needed now and possible, but this needs our prayers, is that a unity government will be formed. And I think of Psalm 133 that says how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity, and it speaks of the anointing and the grace of God commanding a blessing. There are something like 120 political parties that were involved in running candidates, etc., in this election, but there are about 20 of them that are major seat holders that make up the 120 seats in the Knesset. And a unity government means that the largest seat holders and some crucial seat holders in all of those political parties will come together as one government. And that's what they need now. So the actual outcome of this election, the lead election getters, a former military commander named Gantz was the first. He ended up with 33 or 34 seats. Benjamin Netanyahu got 31. And then there were a succession of the other political parties that held a number of them. But some very crucial and very critical things for the economic and actual physical security and well-being of Israel necessitate a unity government. So we pray for those men and women right now as they are having discussions and political wrangling and doing deals and trying to pull together enough to have a majority seats of 61 in the Knesset. We ask the Lord that he would put into power our prayer. Lord, give them leaders such that it would be to your glory to give them the victory through those men and women. In Jesus' name.
Amen. The reason we felt we wanted to share these with you today is that I felt a more living connection than ever before, and that this was part of something that God is doing and is about to do greater than we have ever known. And that part of the pilgrims, well, a lot of people don't know, the ones who came, who did the Thanksgiving, and it's coming up soon, is that they had a deep love for Israel and for the Hebrew language. They learned, those pilgrims, as they were, went to the Netherlands from England, and then they came here. They studied Hebrew. Part of it, they were believing the words, the promises, the scriptures about God bringing the scattered ones, the believers, back home. So we owe a lot of debt to Israel. And the part of the reason, if we are going to spend money, I would rather spend blessing Israel. So people can ask, what is a practical way we can bless Israel? Well, we will spend part of our tourist money. If you're going to go somewhere, I want to tell you that the best way you could invest is going out there, going to their hotel, staying there. It all helps them, blesses them, and prospers them.
As a sort of one of the capstone pieces of this particular pilgrimage also, we were asked to dedicate something called the Millennial Center. That is a new humanitarian aid work that is ministering to Holocaust victims, victims of terrorist attacks. It's in Modain, which is near the Ben-Gurion airport. There we are hanging the mezuzahs on the door.
So they asked me to dedicate that portion that had not been complete until recently. So Rabbi Barry Siegel and Pastor Mahesh Shavda, you see them dedicating the Millennium Center. That's part of when we raised a substantial amount of money to bless buying ambulance, one of the latest, most well-equipped ambulances. We had a major part in the donations that we collected, and we sold as a fellowship to that by buying the ambulance recently. We have, from the initial foundation of that ministry, I was involved. We were great friends, Barry and I. There it is. Wow, you guys are fast. So we blessed that, and it is initially it was parked at the Millennium Center and then released into Jerusalem. But it is the most active ambulance in birthing babies in Jerusalem. It has more babies born there than anything. So we have had the chance to bless Israel, and we will continue to. So plan, I would say, just practical direction would be, if I had a chance to go overseas or go travel, I would try to collect money, and they will tell you how much it is in the coming days, the latter days. It's not really as much as you would think, and it's so much fun. It was to be with other pilgrims and the ones who love the same things. We love to pray. We love to watch and pray. We love blessing Israel. We love all the history of great things that God has done. And the other thing that was privately, I mean, in a sense, one addendum that I had was when it was such a delight for me to see Ethan since the day he was a little baby and dedicated here. And now he's beginning to grow, and he's now becoming from a little boy to a man. And we were there present at the wall to dedicate this young man, like our children were dedicated to the Lord, and we dedicate them there at the Western Wall. But there he is. But the thing is that we are a community, that the church is important for us, that we as Americans need to go back to some of our founding wisdoms. And part of it is Proverbs 22, train up a child in the way he should go, and he shall not depart from it. Our children are our treasure, our children, our grandchildren. May they grow up in the blessing of the Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel. And an example I saw was there was Ethan becoming a man under the instructions of the Bible and blessing. There he was blessing Israel also in his prayers. And it is essential that we have the wisdom to recognize if we don't train up, don't form a culture and a community and a family together, not just individuals and lonely people. I want us to be able to be a vast God family with headship, with instruction, with honor for our founding principles, honor for our flag, honor for armed forces. Those things are, as a community, we can put those values into our children and our grandchildren. You are part of that strength that we need. Together, we need. It is not just Michael and Mary. They're not hanging alone. Or Amy and David. They're bringing up Dylan. But we are together surrounding them, strengthening them, so they can bring up this child. Just want you to know that we absolutely need to stand together. Otherwise, there are cultural, the powerful dark forces that want to take our children and define them by questioning even whether they are a boy or a girl. That I thought was simple. My parents even discerned, we have a boy. And I discern, we have two boys and two girls. And I mean, they, you know, it's so tragic that sometimes you just have to laugh that it's so crazy. But these are basic that we have to stick together and bless our families. And so that is essential, that Ethan and all his siblings, it was such a delight to see Mary and all the siblings waiting to welcome their brother and, of course, their dad. But that it is important that you come together, we offer strength, and we are going to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to declare Jesus is Lord over the United States of America. And together, praise God, we as a nation blessed Israel. And you saw the embassy pictures today. Praise God. Give the Lord a big clap. Amen. So let's stand up. I hope you have been edified by the visuals. Thank you again, Michael and Sarah and Heather and the team that helped her. Take your neighbors in. Father, we thank you. It has been a joy, Lord, for us to come back with all the wonderful pilgrims that came from the United States and some from Scotland. By the way, Anders and Gabby joined us there too. So it was there, they live in Germany. And Father, thank you for giving us safety, giving us such a delightful experience being pilgrims and blessing Israel. We as a church, we as families, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we bless Israel. We pray godly election results. Lord, thank you for each family here that even today, as we have participated and honored your word, that there is a special blessing over every family. May each of you, that word, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love thee. I pray for unique prosperity over each person and over each family here. May our children, as we have blessed Israel and Jerusalem, we extend supernatural blessing and favor and promotion over our children and our grandchildren. From this place, we say, God bless America. God bless Israel and Jerusalem. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.